This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 30th, 2006. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter on our agenda, number four, is a proposed policy statement establishing a pilot program for probable cause hearings. We have before us late submitted document, Commissioner Mason. Or actually, my apologies, there are two late submitted documents.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda documents 0678 and 0678A.
Thank you. Commissioner Mason has moved the suspension of the rules to consider agenda document 0678 and 0678A. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Madam Secretary, Commissioner Mason's motion passes by the affirmative vote of 5-0. Agenda document 0678 was prepared by Commissioner Weintraub and Chairman Toner. Commissioner Weintraub, would you like to speak to the document?
I would indeed, Mr. Vice Chairman. And I want to say that I am delighted to be here as the proponent of this proposal, and I regret that the chairman is not here to join me today. Although this document is being proposed by the chairman and me, it reflects the ideas and enthusiasm of many people. We got comments and input from all the commission's offices and from OGC, and I want to thank everyone for their hard work in helping us craft this proposal. And I must, above all, thank Laurel Shanks, my counsel, who, without whose tireless efforts over the last few weeks, we would be looking at a blank piece of paper. The genesis of this proposal goes back a long way. 3 years ago, as then chair of this agency, I convened an unusual hearing. I think it was unusual for us and unusual for any agency to convene a hearing in which we invite people to come in and criticize us. It was focused on our enforcement process, and we invited members of the regulated community, members of the forum community, anybody who's interested to come on in and tell us what drove them crazy about our enforcement process and how we could do it better. And we got a lot of very constructive suggestions at that hearing, and I appreciate that people were didn't come in with missiles and bows and arrows, but really did come in the spirit of constructive improvement of the agency, and I know that the staff viewed it in the same way, and I thought it was a really interesting experience. And to give credit where credit is due, I think it was originally suggested by former Commissioner Smith. We implemented a number of ideas immediately that year after we had the hearing, clarifying the roles of treasurers and what we mean when we name them as respondents, allowing people to get copies of their deposition transcripts, which, remarkably enough, we didn't routinely do before. Also that year, in an improvement to our enforcement process, we started putting our enforcement case records at the close of the cases. We put the public documents online instead of just making them available here in the building where they could be summarized in some reporters out there, but they weren't really effectively available for people out in the world to get access to and to search, and now they're available on a searchable database, and I think that also helps to make it a more transparent and fair process. A couple of the proposals that we have on the table today, including the one that I'm talking about, were discussed at that hearing. And although it's not the first time that somebody raised the issue of our allowing oral arguments at the probable cause phase, that proposal actually dates back to 1982. It's been around for a long time, when the American Bar Association section of administrative law recommended it. And they cited in their report an earlier common cause study, which also recommended, among many other things, that we ought to allow more opportunities for oral argument. So this idea really has quite a long pedigree. The proposal that we're putting out for comment today, and I do hope that we're going to get a lot of good comments on it, I'd like to just summarize some of the key features. It's a pilot program. We're going to try it for 8 months and see how it works, and we can reevaluate it at any time, but there's a built-in provision that after 8 months we're going to reevaluate and see whether it's working for us. It provides respondents who are getting to the probable cause phase, and I think most of the people in this room are sophisticated enough to know that we trigger an investigation with a finding of reason to believe that there's a violation of the law, and then after the investigation, the more serious finding that the agency makes is that there's probable cause to believe that someone has violated the law. We don't get to that stage with too many cases. Most cases settle out for a variety of reasons before then. But it is a serious matter to have a government agency find that there's probable cause to believe that you violated the law, and a lot of people take that very seriously. And at that point, there's briefing back and forth. And after, under this proposal, after the briefing, after the respondents have already submitted their legal arguments on paper, they would have the opportunity to request, or actually they'd request at the same time they're submitting the briefs, an opportunity to come in and directly address the commissioners. Just come in here and sit in front of us at that table and make an argument. And we've modeled the proposal on the details of it on our Title 26 audit hearings, which already take place when people receive public funding and we order repayments. They have the opportunity to come in and make an argument as to why they don't really owe as much money as we think they do. We have provided in here that these hearings will take place expeditiously, so they won't slow down the process. And if somebody is not available to come in a reasonable amount of time, they may lose their opportunity to have this hearing. We're not going to allow this to become a way for respondents to just drag their feet and drag out the process. That's not what this is all about. Respondents, usually through counsel, will be able to make an opening statement. The commissioners, the general counsel, and staff director will all have an opportunity to ask questions. There'll be some give and take. These hearings will be confidential because they're part of our enforcement process, so only the respondents will be in the room and their lawyers in most cases. And at the end of the day, though, there will be a transcript made. The transcript will be available to the respondents, and if that becomes part of the agency's decision-making process, if we rely on that transcript, on that hearing, and making our decision, then that, too, will become public at the end of the enforcement process, along with all the other determinative documents. As I said, it's going to be an eight-month pilot program. Why 8 months? I don't know. 6 months didn't seem like it was quite long enough, so we thought we'd try 8 months. But again, that's something that people can comment on. In terms of one issue that I think the commission has not settled on in particular is what would trigger the hearing. People have to make a request. Some commissioners thought that any time a request was made, we ought to grant it as of right. Others thought maybe we needed to have our typical four votes to trigger a hearing. And what this proposal puts forth is a compromise between those two positions that says, yes, we're retaining discretion over the over whether we're going to grant the hearing. We want to maintain some control over our docket, see how many requests come in, but it's not a high bar. You only need two commissioners to agree to hear you in order to get the hearing. Now, I don't know whether that's the perfect solution, but as I said, it's a document for comments, so you know, if people have thoughts on that, then we'd like to hear them. So why are we doing this? This idea has been kicking around for over two decades. Why do it, and why do it now? I think it's going to improve our decision-making. If we adopt this pilot program after a comment period, I think it will lead to a process that is more fair, more transparent, and better informed. And I think it's also going to promote conciliation. I'd like to quote briefly from some of the comments that we got from the testimony that we received in 2003 from one particular proponent of this idea. That was Jan Baron, who's one of our very experienced practitioners before the agency. And he's put forth three arguments for why we should do this. He said, first, such an appearance may illuminate certain facts and arguments that would otherwise go unnoticed based upon the written briefs. And I think, you know, people submit briefs and we read them, but we get a lot of paper crossing our desks. And sometimes when somebody's sitting there looking you in the eye and making the argument, it does have a greater impact. Second, allowing respondents to make oral arguments before the commission would promote a sense of fairness in the commission's procedure. This is something that I used to hear from my clients when I was in private practice, and it's something that I continue to hear from people who come before the agency, that they're not sure that the commissioners really hear them. They want to be heard, literally. They want to be able to look us in the eye and see that we understand their argument, and, you know, maybe we reject it, but at least they know that we get it. And the third argument is that at the probable cause stage, respondents are often so convinced of their position that they're set on litigating if the commission finds probable cause. However, a commission hearing might cause them to rethink this litigation strategy once they've been able to make their own argument to the commission, even in light of an adverse decision. By the same token, the commission may detect reasons for dismissal or an alternative settlement. Any avoidance of litigation would save the commission and respondents time and resources. And I think that's also true. Litigation is the least efficient way of resolving anything on our enforcement docket. It requires a lot of resources, it takes a long time, and it's frequently the timing of it is out of our control because it goes to the courts and then the courts will rule whenever the courts will rule. So I think there are, and I think sometimes people will come in and they'll make these arguments and they'll say, you know, they'll see from the looks on our faces, from the questions that we're asking, whether they're selling us or not. And I suspect some people will immediately walk out the door and collar the general counsel and say, okay, we're ready to settle now. We can see we're not going to win this one. So I think that this may, it'll make for a fairer, more transparent process. People will see what we're thinking. They'll hear what our questions are. And I think that it may well promote conciliation. Now, the objection has been raised before and recently that we shouldn't do this because it may bog down the process and slow us down, and we can ill afford to slow down our enforcement process. And I think this is not a frivolous concern, and it's one that I've thought long and hard about, because I yield to no one in my zeal and commitment to improve the timeliness of our enforcement program. But I think we can do this for a couple of reasons. One is that we have made an enormous amount of progress in the timeliness of the processing of our cases. This is something that is seldom recognized, because I think the commission has a long history of not doing very well on this. There was a time when we used to lose cases on statute of limitations grounds. 5 years from the date of violations, we still hadn't concluded the case. And that was embarrassing, and the commission was justly criticized for that. But that was then, and this is now, and we don't do that anymore. It does not happen anymore. In the fiscal year just passed, that concluded on September 30th, by September 30th, we had already closed more than 80% of the cases from our 04 docket, cases arising out of the 04 election that we learned about within 6 months of the election, over 80% of them already done. That is a dramatic improvement over anything that this agency has ever done before. We're not only getting the cases done faster, we are getting higher penalties, tougher penalties. This is 06 was the fifth consecutive year that we had our lawyers negotiated over $1 million in penalties, and that's not even counting the admin fines and the ADR settlements. And it's going to be a record year 06 because we had our biggest penalty ever. We had the $3.8 million settlement with Freddie Mac, which was a real record setter for around here. So we have made enormous progress in this area, and that's why I think that we're in a position now to try something new, even at a risk that it might have an impact on timeliness. And I want to say that the reason that we are doing so much better is in part because the commission, from everyone in the counsel's office and every member of the commission, is united in the goal of focusing on this and has been for some time. But it's also because of the daily efforts of everyone in our enforcement division. I can't wave my magic wand and make the cases go faster. It is the day-in efforts of every single person in our enforcement division that have enabled us to reach this point where we are processing the cases faster and we are getting bigger penalties. We're working harder, tougher, smarter, and faster than we have ever worked before in this agency. And these people don't get a lot of credit for it. They don't get to issue press releases releases. They don't get to sit here in front of the microphone and brag about the statistics, but the statistics do bear them out. And I'm very proud of all the hard work that's gotten us to this place. Now, am I satisfied with where we are today? Of course not. Anyone in this building could tell you that I'm never satisfied, but we have, as I said, made enough progress in this area that I think we can do this. And I also think that it need not bog us down to have these hearings. It's interesting that in the 2003 hearing, we received mixed testimony on that point. Some people just kind of assumed, oh, yeah, this is going to slow you down. But the testimony that we got from the election law bar was that they weren't convinced it was going to slow us down dramatically. They weren't convinced that most of their clients were going to want to do this. And that's borne out by my own experience as a practitioner, which is that most people, when they come before us, it's because of inadvertent mistakes. They didn't realize they were violating the law, but they did. And my experience as a practitioner was somebody comes to you and says, I've got this complaint at the FEC, and you look at it and you say, you know what? They got you dead to rights. You're wrong. They're right. No, you didn't mean to, but you broke the law. The reaction that you usually get from people is, well, let's just negotiate the best deal we can and put it behind us, because I don't want to have a government investigation hanging over my head interminably. So, you know, there's real reasons. There are a lot of reasons why people want to settle a case, move on, put it behind them, and that they wouldn't want to pursue this to probable cause. It's expensive to go to probable cause. You have to write the briefs. You have to hire your lawyers. And making the argument, you're going to have to pay even more for them to come in here and do it, so I don't think everyone's going to do it. And we're being very explicit in this policy for the first time, and I think this is another good thing that we're doing, because I think we ought to be more transparent in general about how we calculate our penalties, that there are risks involved in going to probable cause. If you settle early, if you cooperate, if you make life easy on us, we give discounts on the penalties. We've been doing that for quite a number of years, and we're being very open and explicit about it now. The members of the bar that used to work for this agency know this, but now we're telling everybody that folks who settle out early generally get lower penalties. If you want to push it to this point of probable cause and a hearing, it could cost you. And the people that are, so I don't think this is going to be for everybody, but for the people who are so convinced that they're right and we're wrong and they really need to get in front of us and make their arguments, I think we ought to hear them out. So I am very enthusiastic about the prospect of doing something new. We don't know what the impact of this is going to be. That's why we're doing it as a pilot program. Nobody knows whether this is really going to be a drag on the system or not. But I don't think that we ought to be afraid to innovate because we can't predict the future. Let's try something new and see how it works. And I welcome all comments from all parties as to how to refine this proposal. But I hope that we can put this into effect soon and see how it works. Now, I know that, Commissioner, as I said, we've gotten comments from a lot of folks, and I know Commissioner Walter has some amendments that he wanted to suggest, and that's completely fine with me, and I suggest we incorporate them into the document without objection.
Okay. Further discussion? Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Well, Commissioner Weintraub, I have to tell you, I agreed with everything you said. but I did want to make just a couple of points. I mean, we have a very complex investigative and enforcement process that's dictated by the campaign finance statute, which is this book I'm sure everyone has seen. It's basically an administrative proceeding. Now, I've been a lawyer for over two decades, and I've been involved in a lot of administrative proceedings. In fact, starting with my very first case when I was a third-year law student, and I represented someone in a Social Security administrative proceeding. I think it is a basic procedural right that the target of an investigation by a government agency should have the ability to appear before that agency to present his side of the story and his arguments on the law. Now, I realize that's not required by this statute, and this agency has been in existence for 30 years and has not done so. Well, I think it's time that we do so, and I think basic considerations of due process and fundamental fairness should have us put this kind of process in place. There's already been some criticism that this would slow down our enforcement process or somehow undermine our role as an enforcer of the law. Well, by that analysis, you could easily get rid of a lot of the due process rights in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, and we could put in kangaroo courts that could dispense justice very quickly. Some people, I think, don't seem like they're going to be satisfied until we are given the power of the Red Queen and Alice in Wonderland, so as soon as a complaint is filed, we can say off with their political heads. I don't know of any law enforcement agency, and I've now, this is my second law enforcement agency I've worked for, that goes to the point of prosecuting someone without first meeting with them and their counsel and getting their side of the story. I don't think these criticisms are even remotely valid. And I would like to point out, as Commissioner Weintraub does, that under the leadership of Larry Norton, our general counsel, this agency has made tremendous strides in increasing the efficiency of its investigations, the speed with which they are done, and increasing the case closure rate. And I have some great statistics. This year, it's not even the full year, when you consider our enforcement cases, our alternate dispute resolution matters, our administrative fines, we've closed 239 matters and have collected almost $6 million in civil penalties and fines, which is the most money this agency has collected in any full year of its 30-year history. We've closed 21 full audits, which take a lot of work and a lot of time. We've done 24 advisory opinions, completed 7 rulemakings, and been involved in 7 major cases involving litigation as well as other cases. As Commissioner Weintraub has pointed out, the number of our cases that reach the probable cause stage are very few when compared to our overall caseload, because the vast majority of the respondents decide to conciliate or settle their cases before they get to that stage. The Commission can easily handle hearings on these few cases, and it will not significantly or even materially delay our enforcement process. I think this is going to be a significant improvement in our procedures that's going to lead to better decisions, and I think it's one that's, frankly, 30 years overdue. And I will support this completely.
Thank you. Further discussion? Commissioner Walther?
I just wanted to make sure that the amendment was included in the motion coming before us, and I wasn't sure if that actually got done.
It has not. I think Commissioner Weintraub is not going to make that motion. Yeah. Commissioner Weintraub?
I'm happy to make that motion, which I think is going to lead us to better informed decision making. And who could ever criticize an agency for wanting to be better informed when the decision makers make their decisions? I move that we adopt agenda document, the agenda document 0678 as amended by 0678A. That we publish this document in the Federal Register, seek comment, and I hope we get a lot of good ones.
Thank you. So, Madam Secretary, Commissioner Weintraub has moved the adoption of Agenda Document 06-78 as amended by Agenda Document 06-78A to empower the Office of General Counsel to make such technical and conforming amendments as necessary to publish in the Federal Register. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Walther?
Briefly, I just echo what Commissioner Weintraub said and congratulate her for her steadfast devotion to better enforcement and fair enforcement. I know historically I learned a lot about her when I first came on the commission. That's been her passion. It's been nice to see some of this come to fruition while I'm here. I was surprised when I got here that we didn't have a process like this. But I've spent 37 years practicing law, mostly in litigation, and it does seem to me to be a fundamental aspect of any agency that enforces to provide both transparency, fairness, and to a large degree the appearance of fairness, to provide an open forum at a certain important stage, as we're now going to do eventually in connection with this. And hopefully it will be more than for a period of 8 months. And also want to congratulate the Office of General Counsel for the changes that have been made and the improvements in the quality of the work that I've seen since I've been here. I think it's been great, and openness to change, and I think we'll see a much better process here. I think most of you who watch this or agency can see kind of a renaissance taking place in the last recent several months, and hopefully that'll continue. Another major reason for me having practiced law all those years is to learn the hard way, in some degrees, it's some of your best lessons, that you never want to give up a chance for an oral argument, because it's so often the case that well-meaning judges miss an issue, don't get a chance to ask the right question, don't get a chance to phrase it right. What it means to me is that I think we'll do a better job as commissioners if we give the opportunity to people to express their views in their own way on important points. And so, I look forward to initiating this process, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you can record the Commissioner Weintraub's motion passed by affirmative vote of 5-0.